This week's Parsha's Parshas told us that the Parsha begins, tells us that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka, and then tells us that Yitzchak davened, he prayed for his wife because she was barren, and it says that Hashem answered his prayer and Rivka became pregnant. So, first, the language that's used for Yitzchak's praying, Vayatar Yitzchak LaHashem, is a unique language. It doesn't say Vayit Palel that he davened, but Vayatar is he pleaded to God on behalf of his wife. And then it says that God responded using the similar Vayatar Lo Hashem. So what's amazing here is that we see that here Yitzchak prays and he's answered. The Torah tells us that God responded. And so Rashi comments that specifically Hashem answered the prayer of Yitzchak as opposed to that of Rivka. They both were really praying, but Yitzchak was responded to. And Rashi says that there's the quality, I guess, of the prayer of a person who's a tzaddik, a righteous person that's the child of a righteous person, is stronger than the person who's righteous but is not coming from righteous family, righteous parents. Okay, fine. So something special and unique about Yitzchak's strength of prayer. So we go fast forward after his children are born, after Esav and Yaakov and Jacob are born, tells us that there was a famine. And then the Torah says that Hashem says to Yitzchak, you can't go down to Egypt. And so Rashi explains he wanted to go down to Egypt, similar to the way his father had gone down. The Maral actually, Gor Aryeh, points out that where did Rashi get that from? Where does he know that his desire was to go like his father had gone? And he says that if you look at the language of the pasuk prior to that, it says that there was a famine, when they were sent similar to the original famine that was in the times of Avram. So then, you know, it's the Torah is tying the two together. And so that when God says, don't go down, well, because he wanted to do what his father had done. And so why can't Yitzchak go down? Because Rashi says he was an Ola Tamima. He was a holy sacrifice. And Rashi's language is, Ve'en chutzal la'aretz kedai lecha. You're going out of Israel, out of the land of Israel, is not fitting for you. So then the question is, Aram's able to go out. We see that Jacob's able to go out of the land of Israel, but Yitzchak was not allowed. There's something that about Yitzchak that's unique, that it's not, as Rashi says, kedai lecha. It's not proper for you. It's not fitting for you to leave the land. So what's interesting is that it says that when Yitzchak came and saw Rivka for the first time, Rivka saw Yitzchak, she saw Isaac for the first time, it says that he was lasuach basada, he was davening in the field, but where was he? He was coming from the place of the Mikdash, the place of the Temple Mount, and that he really had never left after the Akedah, he never had left there. So Yitzchak was connected to that place in a way that was unique, and that, in a sense, there's something about his connection to that therefore it says that it's not befitting for him to leave the land of Israel. So I wanted to say that that there's a connection, perhaps, between where Yitzchak was at this point and his ability to pray and be answered that was unique. But what's important for us is to understand how we approach prayer and perhaps it ties into the where Yitzchak was at this point. And that is that we see at the beginning of the history of the world, it says that before Adam was created, that in a sense creation was in a suspended state, and that things were not moving. There was no rain, and things were not growing. And then God created Adam, and at that point, when Adam saw that there was something missing, he prayed, and then everything started to move. What the takeaway from that is that we think of prayer, we think of tefillah as being outside of the world. Like we're kind of like removed from the world, and we're davening in a removed state. and that our prayers have somehow nothing to do with the rest of the workings of the world. But what what we see about Adam in the beginning of creation is that what man was supposed to be, what humanity was supposed to be, is supposed to be an integral part of the workings of the world. And so that when we daven, we're not outside of the creation, we're part of it. And our davening, our prayers, actually facilitate, allow things to occur. And so it changes the way we approach davening. And so I want to say perhaps that Yitzchak, in where he was, an Ola Tamima, as Rashi refers to him, that he was on a status, perhaps on a level of Adam before the sin, that he was so close to this level that he understood how the integral part of how humanity, how God gave man this role in creation to be part of the process, that when we daven, we are facilitating, we are allowing things to then occur. And so therefore Yitzchak, when he davens for his wife because she's barren, God answers him, because Yitzchak is in that place. He's in that mode. He's in that special state. And therefore, he shouldn't leave the land of Israel because he has that special quality. But for us, what it means, the takeaway is that when we daven, we're not outside of what's happening. We are part of it. We're an integral part. And when we change that, that subtle difference has an impact. It should change the way we daven and realize that, whoa, as we are davening, that Hashem, or the creation of everything that's going on, it needs us. We are part of this process, and that when we daven, it actually allows the flow that should be occurring to occur. It's a very important idea. And I think that perhaps that is what Yitzchak was very much keyed in on, and therefore you see that from his prayer, things just went from there. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.